You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar Report, Scholar.com. Global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. I turn to the CEO of Scholar.com, Chris Riegel, to discuss the end of a pandemic, if it is. A quote, Chris, from David Hyman, professor of infectious disease epidemiology, London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Quote, there are no real criteria for the end of a pandemic, but it probably feels something like this. Then I go to a University of Washington global health professor. People are moving on with their lives. The question is not, will countries lift all restrictions, but when? The report here is in London, I'm told. In the tube, you're required to wear a mask, but not many are, and there's no enforcement. On the street, there's hardly any masking to be seen. In New York, again, masking is various. The question is it enforced? And also, is the check your vaccine card at the door enforced? In Los Angeles, well, we all witnessed 70,000 people enjoying themselves in the Super Bowl, not wearing masks, despite the fact that you had to have a mask in order to enter the Super Bowl. So you travel widely. What is the present opinion? Is the virus receding? Is the pandemic over? Are we going back to work? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It appears, at least from this past week, that this wave of the virus is over. Maybe we see another one next winter. But for all intents and purposes, this spike seems to be over. You're seeing the bluest of blue states now say masks aren't required anymore unless you're in school, which is a little bit odd. But you're seeing the restrictions, I think, because the poll numbers show that masks are extremely not appreciated by the general voters. This has a political bent as well as a public health bent. Obviously, Omicron's now starting to recede. But the real question is, in going back to work, what percentage of people can't wait to get back into the office, which is a significant percentage, but also the percentage of people that are either afraid to go back to the office or their work styles have changed and just will not return to the office. What does that mean for the office in the major cities across the country is yet to be determined.
Now we come from work from home, which is the question at hand. If the pandemic is lifting for the moment, and if the requirement is to go back to the office, I know that banks in New York, for example, the biggest banks are requiring 5 days a week for their workers, their high-end workers who have been working remotely. It's a mixed picture, however. I go to an article featured in Bloomberg about a professor from the Harvard Business School, Professor Chowdhury, who has done research about work from anywhere. What he says pithily is, in 10 years' time, we will stop calling this remote work. We'll just call it work, meaning that this hybrid that we're now experiencing is the future, and it is work. And as our technology improves, it will be specious to question where you're contacting your colleagues or where you're doing your work. We'll just keep moving. Do you measure? This is the old quote, Chris. The future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. Do you believe that we're already in the future?
I don't know that I would start buying office supplies and desks for your office in the metaverse yet. I think it's somewhat a bit elitist to say that work will all be remote. That assumes that in the professional world, could that work be remote? Maybe. But in the more blue collar, a lot of those jobs, from the factory floor to the gas station to the hotel to whatever that might be, those are not remote jobs. And in the remote jobs, if that's doctor, lawyer, accountant, there's still pretty significant benefit to being able to work in an environment with peers to ask questions of, to learn of, and to develop from. So will there be a greater percentage of remote work? Absolutely no question. Will that be the dominant trend going forward? I doubt it. It's probably something like an 80-20 or 70-30 mix.
Chaudhry goes on to say, this is the Harvard business professor, remote work is often pitched as something that employees want and employers don't. My research, says Chaudhry, has shown that this is a win-win. For employees, it's great to work from anywhere because you can move to a cheaper location. For employers, it's a win as well because you are not constrained to hiring from the local labor market where you have an office. The other big benefit is productivity. Do you see hiring being eased by the fact that you can hire people anywhere in the country to work for you? And do you see productivity gains in this experiment we've had during the pandemic?
I think there are probably productivity losses when all stacked up, because many people just get so fatigued from working at home because they don't stop working. They may be working longer days than if they're going to the office. They at least have a natural separation at the office at a certain point where they turn off their work brains and start their personal brains. When work mixes at home, that's a much grayer line of when the day starts and stops, and can be much longer and much more stressful days. All that being said, the migration, if you look at Silicon Valley companies, whether that be the Googles of the world or the Seattle crew of Amazon and Microsoft and others, as they're now hiring remotely and paying West Coast wages through the Midwest, through Canada, through lower cost states, there's a huge disruption going on because of remote work that may or may not play to the long term benefit. Time will tell.
And overseas, do you see discontinuity with what you're experiencing in the U.S.? You have business in Europe, you have business in Asia. Work from home, is that popular? Is that seen as part of the future or a necessary response to the pandemic?
If you take London as an example, it was always more frequent that you would have more work from home in London as a city because the costs of being in the city were so extreme. So you have always cost as a driver and the commute into the city being difficult another. That being said, I think Europe will be quicker to adopt that flex use case. However, you'll still see disruptions around that because of whether it be virus spikes or other. But look to the deltas and the differences between Europe, which is opening greatly, and Hong Kong and China, which continue to lock down or get tighter around COVID, that you have a disruptive kind of view worldwide. The West is opening, but the Far East and China is locking right back down.
You brought my attention to a poll featured recently in the news about millennials, especially young workers, and do they want to return to the office? Do they want to go back to the way it was before the pandemic? And I think the number was so overwhelming, I can't remember it. It approached 80 or 90% saying they will not stay at an employer who fixes my time and fixes the days I have to be there. Do you believe it or is this boasting?
I believe that unfortunately, there will be many millennials who will learn about that balance of power, probably in a negative way. There's always a pendulum that swings between employer and employee. That has moved through the pandemic very heavily towards the employee side. But as things return back to normal, it will probably return more central. And if your employer says, as an example, some of the big New York banks, if you wish to work remotely, that's okay, but we're going to pay you 30% less. There's a value to being in the office and working with peers on problems. If you're remote, in some environments that works well, in other environments that does not work as well, and the businesses may discount the value of that employee via their compensation.
You have business and R&D in Canada. You hear from your colleagues in Canada. Whatever's going on right now, has it affected the whole of Canada? Is it affecting business everywhere, these protests?
I was speaking to two Canadian colleagues last night. I've never heard Canadians say they were ashamed to be Canadians based on what's going on and until the last two or three days. I believe that Mr. Trudeau is way overplaying his hand, and it is a negative impact that will probably impact them, Mr. Trudeau, politically quite negatively. That being said, the Canadians are probably more fed up and more concerned, and the emergency powers that he's invoked are probably going to get a lot of pushback at the provincial levels.
Has it changed their ability to function, to work, or everything's carrying on?
As long as the Canadians have a good supply of extra powerful beer and Timbits, they're
right,
fine. They're rugged people.
Yeah. Chris Riegel, CEO of Scala.com. This is the Scala Report, a global technology firm transforming the retail space. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.